I was thinking about prayer as a means of communication. And I was thinking about communication. Now, if any of you either have younger siblings or have little kids or you've watched little kids, you know what it's like. You've seen a little kid from very early age. They like get started and they learn how to kind of make sounds, right? What type of sounds do they make, Andrew? Grunts and groans and mumbles, right? And then those sounds go from those little weird things. It's like, oh, they said a word, dada and mama, right? And then it goes to they actually learn words. And they learn anthropomorphism, and they learn other things, and then they stick these words together, and they make sentences. And once they can make sentences, they start to be able to communicate well with someone else. You ever talk to a kid who's like five, and you're like, I'm having a conversation with a little person. It's not an in-depth conversation, but I'm having a conversation. And then they turn into 15, and you're like, oh, this is a different type of conversation. And they become 25 and 45, and that's because communication develops, and it's something that we grow in, right? So we see that in our physical bodies. We see that with kids, but we see it in our spiritual life as well. Like, this class is all about growing in our communication, not just communication with one another, but our communication with God. And so I'd like to just give us some biblical helps for us to think, like, create a structure so we know how to think about prayer, and give us some helps so that hopefully we can do it a little bit more, do it a little bit better. I'm just going to go right to the end. This is my thesis today. This is what I would love for you to do. I'd love for you to grow in one area of prayer this coming week. I'd like you to learn maybe something today that helps you pray just a tiny bit better. Sometimes I think I think about prayer and it's like, oh, I'm a prayer failure. You ever felt like that? You're like, I know I should pray. I'm a prayer failure. I'm just not doing as good as I should. But if we think about it like communication as a person, communication is something that we just continue to develop our entire life long. And prayer is communication with God that we can continue to develop our entire Christian life long, all the way until we see Him. So don't get discouraged in the journey. Just take one more step and get to know God a little better and talk to Him a little bit more. And my prayer is that you will take one step of communication and talking to God in prayer here this coming week. Now, because of our time frame, this is going to be a little bit quicker than I thought. And on the fly, I'm going to make one adjustment. I wanted us to actually look at a lot of verses and read them and have you pull out certain words. And so the reason this handout is going to be helpful is because as you look through, we've got some blanks, but you're going to see a ton of Bible references. Some of these, in the moment, we're going to read them. And some we're just not going to have time today, okay? So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. If we don't read it, would you read it later today or maybe tomorrow? I wanted these verses because I really want this to be a resource that encourages you and helps you. As I studied this, I just loved it. There were things that I read and things that I saw that I was like, this is awesome. And my prayer is that you would it would have the same impact on you. Okay, if you're looking at your handout, I'm just going to kind of walk us through this. If you look at the handout, you might think, well, what is prayer and how do we understand this? There's a really well-known pastor from years ago. His name was Charles Spurgeon. And if you've heard of him, you might be like, oh yeah, he was a pretty famous guy. Really well-known, famous pastor in England. And he said, prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with God. Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with God, in communion with Jesus. I thought that was really kind of a neat, short statement. It's natural for Christians. It's just kind of the outgushing, the overflow. We're going to talk about this and what things we should and can pray about and when we pray. It's just the outgushing of a soul in communion, close relationship with God, with Jesus. Now, most people have some idea about prayer, but they're not sure how to describe it. And so I actually have a whole pile of resources. We're going to talk about some of these. And one of them that I brought is called New City Catechism. It has 52 questions, and it's designed for kids. And we actually go through this with our kids on Wednesday night here at Gospel Grace in something called New City Kids. And if you open it up to question 38, and you ask the question, it asks questions and it gives biblical answers to these questions, really good questions. The question 38 says, what is prayer? It's a good question for our class, right? What is prayer? The answer is this. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. You see that on your page. Prayer is pouring out our hearts to God in praise, petition, confession of sin, and thanksgiving. We see a simple verse that highlights this. Psalm 62:8, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him, for God is a refuge for us. Well, then the next question is, question 39, with what attitude should we pray? Well, with love and perseverance and gratefulness in humble submission to God's will, knowing that for the sake of Christ, God always hears our prayers. Philippians 4:6, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He is God, and He wants to commune with you, and so pray to Him. And so the way I have this broken out is five major questions that we're going to walk through. And I want us to think through each of these. I'm going to give you some verses, and this should frame the biblical teaching on prayer. Question one, who should pray? Who should pray? You ever think about that? Have any of you ever felt like, I don't think I'm good enough to pray? Have any of you felt like, well, I can't pray to God today because of what I did yesterday? I can't pray because I was just flipping out at a person or about a thing. I have. There are so many times. And when we look at the Bible, we start to see things like Proverbs 15:29 and Psalm 32:6 and James 5:16. Let me read just a few of these phrases. Proverbs 15:29 says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayer of the righteous. Psalm 32 says, therefore let everyone who is godly offer prayer. James 5 says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. These verses tell us that God hears the prayer of the righteous, which is good news, except it sometimes doesn't feel like good news, right? Like God does invite sinners to pray to Him in repentance, but a survey of God's word shows that it is the godly to whom God listens. But how many of you would just honestly say, I don't really feel godly, or I actually know I am not godly? I drew a picture, and I won't take a ton of time to describe it, but you see, even in the Old Testament, they understood that you can't just get instant access to God. We need an intermediary. We need someone in between. You'd have people. This is supposed to be emoji praying hands. I don't know what it looks like, but that's supposed to be emoji praying hands, okay? And what we find is these people realize you can't just go talk to God. God is too holy. God is too perfect. And so there was actually a priest, that's the priest, and there's a sacrifice. You'd go to the priest with a sacrifice to go to God on your behalf. Hebrews tells some beautiful truth. Hebrews 4 verse 14 says this, Christians have a great high priest. He's passed through the heavens. This great high priest has a name. It's Jesus. He's the Son of God. We don't have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, and He didn't sin. So since we have this great high priest, let us then, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Here's the beautiful truth. Who should pray? Well, righteous people should pray. And how is a Christian right? Not in our own standing. A Christian is right only because of the great high priest, Jesus Christ, who died once for all, one-time sacrifice. So now you, through Christ, have access to God. That means on your good days, do you get access in prayer to God because of your goodness? No. The once-for-all sacrifice of Christ. On your bad days when you have sinned, do you have to stay away from God because I've sinned? No. The once-for-all sacrifice of Christ makes it possible that you can be seen as right with God and go to Him through Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful truth. There is no day and no time and no place that should keep you away from God because you're like, I'm not right with God. No, we aren't. Christ is right with God, and because of Christ, we can actually go to Him. So I just love that truth, because so often my heart's like, oh man, I'm not godly. I know I'm not. I'm a sinner Right, Josh, you are. Jesus is perfect. And he says, confidently go to God through me. So that's a truth I just want you to get, okay? And may that encourage us that we as believers can pray and should pray with confidence. But then the next question would be, to whom should we pray? Right? Well, let me just kind of walk you through. Because of time, I'm just going to give you these answers. Luke 22 says that we pray to the Father. Four times in this passage, it says pray to the Father. No, sorry, I jumped down. Matthew 6 through 9. In the passage we commonly known as the Lord's Prayer, we learn to pray to the Father. Do you see that? To whom should we pray? We pray to the Father. Four times it said, pray to the Father. And then John 14, 13 through 14 tells us we should pray in Jesus' name. Jesus says, whatever you ask in my name, we pray in Jesus' name. While it's fine for you to pray to any member of the Trinity, or even just to pray to God in general, the great traditions of Christian thought encourage Christians to pray to the Father, through the Son, by the Spirit. To whom should we pray? Here's what I want you to get. You're praying to God. You're talking to God. Tim Keller said, who has the audacity to go to a king at 3 a.m. and ask for a cold cup of water? No one has the audacity to go to a king at 3 a.m. and ask for a cup of water, except for the child of that king. He can get out and go to the king's room and say, I need water, dad, because it's his dad. And your dad is God. And your father, God, says, you can come to me at any time, at any place. You're praying to me. Nothing's too impossible. Nothing's too difficult. Nothing's too confusing. Nothing is too unknown. You can come to me. I am God. So that should give us some confidence. Through Christ, we pray to God. Well, then the next question should be, what do we pray for? What do we really pray about? Can I just give these to you? I'm going to encourage you, please look these up. These blessed my soul as I read these. What we pray for, where we should pray, and when we should pray. We need to pray that we would not give in to temptation. That's Luke 22, verse 40. Man, I need that so often. God, help me not to give in to temptation. And God says, pray about it, because I want to help you. Matthew 9, verse 38. What else should we pray for? Pray for laborers in God's harvest. Or we could say, pray for witnesses into his world. We need to pray that God would actually reach the lost. Just what we heard today, live on mission. Pray for laborers into his harvest, or pray for witnesses into his world. What should we pray for? C says, pray for God's people and powerful preaching of God's word. Pray for God's word to go forward with boldness. That's 2 Thessalonians 3. If we went over to James chapter 5, I'll give you a second because a lot of you are writing. I don't want you to miss James 5. I'd encourage you to read it. James 5, verse 13 through 16. Are you there? Do you see, like, are you at that spot in your notes? James 5, okay, cool. James 5, 13 through 16. I'm going to read the verse to you. And then I want you to just call out the different things. James 5, 13 through 16 says this. Is anyone among you suffering? That's the first blank. James says to pray about suffering. Is any among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? That's the second thing, joy or cheer. Is any of you cheerful? Let him sing praises. That's a form of prayer. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save. If any has committed a sin, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. So we pray when we're suffering. We pray when we're joyful. We pray when we're facing sickness. We pray when we're sinful. Lastly, Philippians 4, verse 16 says this. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request be known. Christians should pray in everything, about everything. Pray, because Prayer is the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with God. So be in communion with God and talk to Him about it all. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What is bothering you? Talk to God about it. He wants to hear you. Well, then the question is, okay, there's probably good places and bad places to pray, right? Where do we pray? Let me give you three ideas. There are more. Luke 19 says this. Jesus had entered the temple. That's where they worshiped. And he said, this should be a house of prayer. And so we learned that the house of worship should be a house of prayer. So we should pray in the church. That's appropriate. That's right. We know that. Pray in the church. Matthew 6 says this. When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. So we should pray in private. We should pray alone. That's an appropriate thing to do. Sometimes there are things that you only want to talk to someone who you deeply know and you can deeply trust, and you talk to them about things in private. And God is that person who deeply knows you and you can deeply trust, and He deeply loves you. Lastly, 1 Corinthians 1, 2 says, this is written to the church, those who are saints, those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it tells us that in every single place you can call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can pray in every place. Yes, sir.
Thessalonians 5,
yes.
16:18.
Yes.
Rejoice always, pray without ceasing.
100%. Yeah, at all times. Yeah, it's like an unending phone call with God. You ever have those phone calls with someone you really love? And you're like, okay, you hang up. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. You never have to hang up with God.
Please don't hang up.
Right. Because God never sleeps, and He never slumbers, and He's never too busy, and He never has call waiting, because you can always talk to God, right? That brings us to the next spot. When should we pray, right? When do we pray? And you're hitting it. You're hitting it. When should we pray? 1 John 1:9 says, we better pray when we sin. Often my heart says, don't pray when you sin. Hide when you sin. No, pray. Pray when you sin. 1 Thessalonians 3:10 says, we're going to pray at morning and we're going to pray at night. Psalm 55:17 echoes the same thing. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, pray at night. Psalm 61 says this, when my heart is faint, And from the ends of the earth, I'm going to call to God. So we pray when our heart is faint and when we are far away. That's when we pray. Luke 18:1 says that we should pray always and not to lose heart. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, Shelby, you said it, right? Pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Don't stop praying. So with our last few moments, I'd like us to look at some practical prompts. When you're thinking about prayer, you could go to Matthew 6, and you could look at the Lord's Prayer, and you could take four words, and these four words can kind of help you think through how to pray. I'll give them to you. If you're going to pray, sometimes it's important and appropriate to praise. Just take the four letters of the word pray, P-R-A-Y. If you want to pray, it's good for you to praise God. The Lord's Prayer starts out, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise God. There's a lot you can praise God about. You can just start praising Him and find more reasons to praise Him. Praise God. Second R, repent. Because we are sinful. And so we say, God, please forgive us. And it's important not one time to repent, but continually have a clean heart before God. We know that He is faithful and just to forgive us, so repent. A says ask. There are often times where we just need to ask God. You have not because you ask not. So ask in the Lord's will. You know what? I put a small subnote under there. Do you see it? Asking for others is called intercession. All of our asking doesn't need to be for ourselves. That's called selfish. You know, sometimes our asking in prayer really should be in others. God, I ask for Oakley. God, I ask for Shelby. God, I ask for Haley. That's called intercession. And we let our requests for others be known. Y is yield. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, I'm going to yield to you. You are sovereign. I want to yield to you and your will and what you are doing. Okay, can we flip over to the back? We got a few seconds left. I'd like us to just think about these last few ideas. You could, once again, like I said, because of our time with the other service and handout pieces, we're going quickly. But please don't miss these. I feel like they're like gold coins from God's word. Don't let the gold coin roll past you and you're like, oh, that was cool. No, grab it. Like, read the verse later on. Think on it. Meditate on it. Spend some time. If you got questions, reach out and say, Josh, can we talk more about that one? I'll be like, yeah, let's talk. It'd be good. Okay. A couple practical ideas. First of all, set aside a quiet time and a quiet place for prayer. You ever have a combo with maybe a good friend, and you're in a coffee shop that's too loud, and you can hardly talk? You ever try to have a combo with your spouse, and the kids keep saying, Dad, Mom, and you love them, but it's hard to talk? You ever try to talk to someone while they're on their phone? It's kind of hard to talk to them when they're on their phone and they're distracted. And it's hard for us to talk to God when we're distracted. So find a quiet time, find a quiet place. Set aside the distractions. Sometimes they're good distractions, sometimes they're bad distractions. Set aside the distractions. And then pray. You know, you might pray and kneel, you might pray and sit, you might pray and stand. We find all of those in the Bible. You might pray on your face down before God. Those are all good postures, but get your mind and your heart and your body ready to talk to God and commune with Him. You can be driving. I do this all the time. I'm driving. My eyes are wide open. You don't have to close your eyes. Eyes wide open. I'm just talking to God about all these things. I'm on a run. I'm doing an activity. I'm in between appointments. I'm in the middle of a conversation, and I'm like, I just need God's help. And I'm just like, God, help me. Like, I'm just talking to God all the time. I'd encourage you to just pray specifically, expecting God to hear you and looking for Him to work, and then praise God when He answers prayer. Pray with someone else. This is another practical thing. Maybe pray with your spouse. It'd be great. Pray with your family. Pray with a friend. Pray with another church member. Pray with someone else. They need it. You need it. Pray with others. I would say those blanks are practice prayer and study prayer and learn. Because in any communication, it's something we just need to learn. So don't stop learning. Communicating with anyone takes skill. Same as your communication with God. It's just a spiritual skill you can grow in. It's never ending. And so don't get discouraged in the process. Learn one new thing. Put it into practice. Be okay with just sitting quietly throughout your prayers. Be okay with trying to figure this out and not knowing what to do. Just keep talking to God. Keep learning. God is not in a rush. So just talk to Him. Maybe you'd talk to God and then you'd read the Word. You'd talk to God and then you'd think about the Word. You'd talk to God and then you'd sit in silence. You'd talk to God and just keep talking to God. It's the natural outgushing of a soul in communion with God. A couple final thoughts. I wanted to give you some resources. One, you see this QR code? That's an app you could download. It's called the Prayly app. It's actually produced by two of our deacons here at Gospel Grace. You can download that. Maybe it'd be a help for you. Or maybe you're like, oh, I'm not good with tech. Great, grab a journal. Get a $3 notebook from Walmart. Write down your prayer requests. Write down your people and just pray through them and ask for God to work. You might say, I really don't even know how to get started. Well, I would say a couple ideas. One is, talk to one of the pastors. We'd love to help you learn how to pray. The other is, there's some good books and good resources. Here's one. This is written by a well-known theologian with a perspective of being written for kids. It's called The Barber Who Wanted to Pray. And it just walks through the Lord's Prayer and helps. I mean, it's written for kids, but I love it. And I was helped by it as a 30-something-year-old when I first found it and read it. And it was great. So read it. Don't be intimidated. It's really thin and it's awesome. Okay? The Barber Who Wanted to Pray. You can check this out. I've got other ones. This one just goes through students 365 days of just some sample prayers. It's called Scotty Smith's Everyday Prayers. There's that one. Takes verses. This one is called Praying the Bible by Donald Whitney. This is a helpful one. I had some older... Oh, here's one. Well, let me show you some of the older ones. This one's an older one of Puritan prayers that were written down. If you're ever like, oh, that's in it. It's called Valley of Vision. That can be one people check out. I've got a book called Simple Prayers, but written by Kenneth Boa. And then let me show you these last three, because I would encourage these. This one is called Enjoy Your Prayer Life. It's by Michael Reeves. This is a thin one as well. And we might have a number of copies downstairs. And if you want one, I'll give it to you, okay? And love for you to have that one. That's a good option. This one is called A Handbook to Prayer. Everyone who went out to the recent church plant at Gospel Light got a copy of this. And it just walks through verses from God's Word, and it helps you try to pray through them. This is an awesome way to pray through God's Word. And there's this last one, Praying the Prayers of the Bible. You can see this one has bookmarks and all kinds of stuff in it because I've prayed through this, and it has different segments and sections. Prayers to confess sin and humble ourselves, and prayer for guidance and direction, prayers for help and protection. These are just taking God's Word, so then you talk to God about your problems through the lens of God's Word, about your needs through the lens of God's Word. So a couple resources. Here's my encouragement. Just talk to God. Pray a little bit more. If you're like, I don't pray, then pray today. Say, God, I want to pray more. I want to talk to you. Help me. If you pray some, pray a little better. Talk to God a little more. You're like, I never thought I could talk to God about the fears of my heart. I never thought I could talk to God about these things. You can. Talk to him. He wants to hear you. He wants to help you. He wants this to be an ongoing relationship through the entirety of your Christian journey. Okay? So here's what I'd love to do. I'd love to pray. And I'd love to answer questions after we'll dismiss, and anyone who wants to ask questions can ask questions, okay? Let's pray. God, thank you so much for the gift of prayer. Such a rich, rich gift. Please help us to take one step of growth and pray a little bit more to talk to you and know you. In Jesus' name, amen.